This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Jeff Erickson. We're here with you from rotowire.com, hanging out for the next hour on VSiN, talking some baseball. We had a big night in Major League Baseball last night, Jeff. Not so much today. A little bit of an abbreviated slate on Thursday. One game in progress, Padres-Braves. We'll give you an update on that in just a moment. We're going to have the great Jen Piacenti stopping by on the Progressive guest line as we continue our fantasy football preview. She'll be taking part in the Draft Nation event out at Circa next month. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Some players Jen is targeting, maybe some fades for this season as well. Play a game of what's more likely to cash, looking at some NFL player futures. And we'll get to Jeff's Major League Baseball props, as well as some of my NFL win totals for the 2026 season. Before we talk baseball, though, make sure you're downloading. Make sure you're subscribed to the Prop Points podcast. You can find it on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you miss any of our shows, you could, of course, either find us in podcast form or check us out on the fantastic VSiN Watch app, 24/7 video for VSiN Pro subscribers. So Padres Braves, only game in action right now. We're in the bottom of the third. It's 3-1 San Diego. A little bit of a shaky start for Chris Sale. There's a big error in the second inning for the Atlanta Braves. Sale ended up walking in a run. So he's through three. He's given up four hits, three earned, that one walk and five strikeouts. Michael Harris, responsible for the only run on the board for the Braves, had a solo homer in the bottom of the second. So we'll keep you posted on that game as it develops. Jeff, the Boston Red Sox briefly extended their streak yesterday. They played a doubleheader against the Orioles after getting rained out on Tuesday. So they won their 15th straight in the early game, ended up losing in the second game of the doubleheader. The streak is officially over, but doesn't really change what has been a fantastic month of June so far, excuse me, month of July so far for the Boston Red Sox, firmly back in the mix in the American League.
Yeah, don't be sad that it ended. Be glad that it happened if you're a Red Sox fan there. Some improbable wins in that streak there. They started it with the doubleheader win. They ended it with the second half of a doubleheader loss there when they were using an opener. And that, ironically, the opener has been the problem for them earlier this season. Brian Baio came in relief and actually pitched very well, which he's done before. It's a pattern that has happened like three times this year, where an opener has been butchered the first inning, and then Bayo's come in and pitched very well afterward. The problem is anytime Bayo starts, he gets blown up. So they had this, they were going to go with Ranger Suarez. We even talked about it on the show yesterday and trying to bet whether it was going to be Suarez. And then they turned around and did this method instead. It didn't work out, but Kyle Bradish pitched very well in this game. I think that's a point that should not be overlooked, because he's been pitching much, much better since a rough start to the season. Just got paid as a result, maybe in reflecting that turnaround and their overall hopes. Kind of a big win for the Orioles, to be honest there, Nick, because they're kind of fighting to see if they're still in the wild card race. They had won 7 in a row coming into this series. They needed that win badly. They're still 3 games out in the wild card right now behind the Red Sox, who are the third wild card, just a game behind the Guardians. The Mariners are 2 games behind as well. Mariners lost 2 out of 3 to the Reds somehow. That's your sign that things are problematic right now when you lose 2 out of 3 to my Reds.
That's never the spot you want to be in, being the team that's like, all right, if we lose to them, this is a problem for us. But so it goes for the Cincinnati Reds. Again, Padres Braves, only game in action. We are about 5 minutes away from Twins Guardians starting up. Only 5 games on the Major League Baseball slate today. So we'll get Rays Blue Jays, we'll get D-backs Cardinals, we'll get Royals Tigers a little bit later, but no game starting later than 6:40 p.m. Eastern. We'll have all of Jeff Erickson's plays for that abbreviated slate later in the show. Jeff, the Brewers won yesterday. The Dodgers won yesterday. So Dodgers retain, at least for now, the best record in baseball heading into the weekend. I know you want to talk a little bit about the New York Yankees. Ended up losing yesterday 5-3 to the Pirates. Lost that game in extras, but did get our 30th home run of the season for Ben Rice, who is hanging around in the American League MVP race. Yordan Alvarez right now, the heavy favorite at DraftKings, -285. Junior Caminero certainly has made his case. He's 5-1, but then you find Ben Rice at 13-1.
Indeed. And that game was the first of two yesterday in the doubleheader. Max Fried came back in the nightcap and pitched brilliantly. They beat the Pirates 2-0. So split the doubleheader there, but Rice is the story. I think that you know, he's been left to carry a really huge load for this Yankees team, and he can't do it all alone. He can't be like Judge in terms of that sort of magnitude, but you know, he's been playing, having a great season, and this will be the last year we get him at catcher in our fantasy leagues. But the fact is that he's not catching has probably helped his overall production levels. If Alvarez slips, if he has an injury, all of a sudden I think that Rice's MVP odds are pretty appealing. 13-1 at DraftKings. You can find it at Bet Rivers at 17-1, believe it or not. So something to watch there in terms of maybe possibly getting a little bit of a decent price on a dark horse for the MVP.
Folks, you want to bet smarter? Then you need everything we offer over at rotowire.com, including our brand new smart money tool, which shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games or crushing your fantasy leagues, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use our promo code VSIN. Pretty simple. VSIN. Put that in at checkout, and it gets you 15% off instantly any of our RotoWire subscriptions. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. So we talked a little bit yesterday, Jeff, with Ryan Spilborgs, who does some work now covering the Colorado Rockies. They get blanked yesterday by the Nationals, an 8-0 win for Washington. And we talked with Ryan about, how valid is this Nationals team. They've been really fun. They've been, if you're just a mm-hmm. casual baseball fan, you're not tethered to any team, and somebody asked me, hey, who should I be checking in on? I think I would say the Washington Nationals. But as we discussed yesterday, they put up runs. They also allow a ton of runs. So I will throw the question we asked to Ryan to you now, Jeff. How seriously are you taking Washington as a potential wild card team? I know there's been some potential trade buzz, even with them hanging very much around in that NL wild card picture.
Well, for them, it's an easy identifiable target. It's go get some relief help. Their bullpen has been miserable right this year, blown a lot of leads. I think over 20 blown saves for this team. That is the easiest thing to trade for at the deadline too are quality relievers. Usually, doesn't cost you a ton, and the teams are there. There's an inventory of pitchers out there that can do that there, so that helps. But at the same time, other teams are going to be doing that too. I still think they're lacking in starting pitching. One of the things I really like that they've done is they've really steered into the youth model all their key players are under 30. There's room for growth. And that's sometimes you see explosive growth when looking at that there. But I still think there's real issues there. Yeah. Team ERA for the bullpen is 5.09. Only the Athletics and the Royals are actually worse than the Nationals in terms of their bullpen relief numbers there. Love seeing like James Wood, Curtis Meade, CJ Abrams, Luis Garcia have all had good breakouts this year, kind of piecing together some other parts. It's been fun to watch what they've been able to do.
We're going to talk a little White Sox, Jeff. This has become one of my other favorite teams to watch this season. They are now 54-47. They've won three straight series, just took 2 of 3 from the Texas Rangers. They're idle today. I've won 7 of their last 9 overall. Plus 150 right now to win the AL Central. Cleveland's still your favorite at even money. I think understandably, maybe there's still some hesitation to fully buy in on this White Sox team. But I'll say this, Jeff. I think over the next few weeks, we are going to find out how legitimate this White Sox team is. Their next few series, next 5 series, Houston, the New York Yankees, Tampa Bay, Boston, and Cleveland. This is the stretch that's going to decide the season, I think, in a lot of ways for Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the run differential backs up what the record is. They're plus 44, best in the division. The Guardians, who are one game behind, are minus 4. Not a great offensive team. Started the week as the lowest run scoring team in baseball. They did get J-Ram back this week, so that could change things. I think the interesting thing is, will either of these two teams be buyers at the deadline? There was a rumor that prior to the Red Sox starting this big win streak, or maybe even at the beginning stages of it, they were close to a deal to go get Aroldis Chapman to bolster the back end of that bullpen. Shows an indication of that they're a willingness to be able to go out and improve that team. Obviously, Chapman's no longer going to be available, but there are other fish in the sea. There are other relievers out there. Add them to the pile of teams that maybe are looking to add. They have some good young starters. They have a lot, another youth is served team And, you know, these teams always kind of advance quicker than we're ready for them. In the case of the White Sox, they were historically bad 2 years ago. For the quickness of this turnaround, I think, is so striking to me.
Before we bring on our friend Jen Piacenti, jeez, can't even say it, Jeff. I do want to ask you about some NFL training camp news and notes. We have some teams reporting already. We have a few more starting up in the next few days, and then the rest of the league following suit next week. There are a number of injured players I think we want to get an eye on. Patrick Mahomes, George Kittle, Daniel Jones, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell would be at the top of that list for me. But in terms of true quarterback battles, I think Atlanta is really the team we need to monitor. Do you have any preference whatsoever, whether it's Michael Penix or Tua Tagovailoa starting in week one, especially as it pertains to guys like Bijan Robinson, Drake London in fantasy?
I want it to be Penix, but I want it to be Penix at full capacity, because when he's not at full capacity, you know, I think that he's severely compromised, and I think we saw that last year. I have no faith in Tua. I don't think either of us do, but so that's a big concern. And again, this is an Atlanta team that has they're a very narrow tree. It's Bijan, it's Drake London, and then it's Kyle Pitts. You know, the number two receivers candidates in Atlanta are humblingly bad. That's one I'm watching. The other one I want to watch is, I don't even think it's a battle, but I want to see how Kyler Murray is adapting to Kevin O'Connell in the Vikings offense there. I'm assuming that he's got the job over JJ McCarthy, that it's not a battle, but I want to see what sort of leash and how does he look.
We're going to head to break, but when we come back, we're going to have the founder and CEO of SharkBet, Jen Piacenti, joining us with some of her fantasy football thoughts for the 2026 season. This is Prop Points. Keep it here. We'll watch it be soon. Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that feels almost too good to be true. First, we got to give credit where credit is due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and our top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're probably getting involved with a few props and alt markets too. But there's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our VSiN Pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month for just $9.99, or better yet, save big with promo code POD26, that's POD26, on an annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right. Now back to the show.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is our good friend Jen Piacenti, founder and CEO of SharkBets. You can follow her on Twitter at Jen Piacenti. You can also catch her in Las Vegas for National Fantasy Football Draft Day. It is on August 21st. For those who like to compete in drafts at Circa, head to www.draft-nation.com. Follow Draft Nation on Twitter at DraftNation2026. I'm going to be there. Jen's going to be there. So a lot of the great hosts in the fantasy industry are going to be there. Earl Thomas is going to be there. Adrian Peterson's going to be there. It's going to be a blast. Jen, welcome to the show. Can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this event. I've been having it circled on my calendar for some time. I've been going to Circa every year for fantasy drafts for a couple of years now for a women's league. And the fact that we're expanding this to include the whole industry, we're going to have the celebrities, we're going to have the athletes, is so, so exciting. And is there anything cooler than having our own national holiday, guys? Like, we earned this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome out there. Make sure you use the promo code VSiN, by the way. You could get yourself 25% off if you want to join in on the fun. Again, that's National Fantasy Football Draft Day, August 21st, out at circadraft.nation.com. All right, Jen. So what we're excited for you to come out to Circa. It's going to be a great time, but we're really bringing you on to get some fantasy football thoughts. I think people are starting to think about their drafts this year. I want to know, who are some players you are completely avoiding this season? You know, guys maybe in the first three or four rounds of drafts where you're just not making that investment.
So for me, when we talk about avoiding players, there's no one that I'll avoid at the right price, if you will. But there are some players that are going where I am not willing to take them. Chief among them is actually Saquon Barkley. I know this is not popular, but there's a lot of tread on those tires, and I don't really see him bouncing back to where he was two seasons ago. Second round is still very much too early for me. And if you look at where the futures are, bets lines are for him at the sports books, they don't paint a particularly encouraging picture to me either. I think he will do fine, but I do not think he's a second round pick. And I would rather take, especially since I usually play in PPR leagues, I'd probably rather take a receiver there, possibly a tight end if we're targeting a lead tight end. Another one that I am avoiding, again, at ADP, though I think he's incredibly talented, is Jeremiah Love. I think the helium has gone way too high for somebody that's going into a situation where we have a questionable offensive line, a questionable quarterback, and he's clearly in a committee. James Conner's still there. Tyler Algier's still there. We know that he is a known goal line vulture. So I think people are getting really excited because we had the NFL draft, and personally, I have not forgotten just, you know, Ashton Jeanty from last season. So I'm bearing that in mind. Let's not get too high on Jeremiah Love, though I do love him. I love the talent. I'm not saying he's not elite. I'm just saying where he's going in drafts, I'm avoiding him.
Yeah, elite running backs often are drafted at a point where they're going into organizations that are not so great. Maybe their offensive lines aren't so great. I mean, even Bijan in his rookie year had some pratfalls here and there. Also had Arthur Smith messing with his playing time too. So that's another story. But speaking of those Atlanta Falcons, you like a futures bet for them to win the NFC South.
I do. So the value we're getting for the Falcons to win the NFC South is plus 425 right here. And though I don't love the Falcons, there are so many compelling arguments for why this is strong value. So let's start off with Bijan Robinson. We already talked about that. And Kyle Pitts. What we know is that in the offseason, they went and got Kevin Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. What do we know about Kevin Stefanski? We know he loves to target the running back and the tight end. And arguably, there's not a team with a better duo, right? RB and tight end. We know that Bijan Robinson had the most yards after contact in the NFL last season. We know he's good with the ball in space. We know that they have an elite receiver with Drake London. So there are a lot of reasons. We've got Kevin Stefanski coming in with Bill Callahan to coach up that offensive line to set up this system. So of course the argument is, but they don't have a franchise quarterback. That is true. But the NFL has proven that they do often have success using systems. Think Jimmy Garoppolo. For goodness sakes, maybe even think the Seattle Seahawks last year. Did Sam Darnold light up the fantasy football stat sheet? No, he didn't. But it worked because he had good coaching. I think that's just something that could happen for the Falcons. And even more importantly, it is a weak division. If you look at how the sports books are valuing the totals, they have the Bucs probably getting to 9. They have the Saints probably getting to 8. And the Panthers and the Falcons probably around 7. It's not a big swing. And for a plus 425 payout, I would rather take that than say take the Falcons to make the playoffs, which is only paying 3-1. I think you could sneak in a weaker division with a lower win total than the wildcard team. So for a lot of reasons, I like that. But then again, I also liked the Seahawks to win the NFC West, which sounded crazy at the beginning of the season. So you'll just have to kind of trust me on this one, I guess.
Folks, the NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and the smart money is already moving lines. You can lock in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. It'll get you instant access to the NFL betting guide from VSiN to help you attack futures, win totals, and player props. Plus, we're including the new Fantasy Life fantasy football guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings to help you prep for your fantasy draft. Sign up now and you get full VSiN Pro access across every sport all the way through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Take advantage of that football special. Got what? 8 more days before that offer goes away. Just $175. Get full access all the way through the Super Bowl. We're talking with Jen Piacenti, founder and CEO of Shark Bets. You can find her on SiriusXM Fantasy. You can find her on Twitter at Jen Piacenti. Jen, you mentioned Sam Darnold, who you correctly stated, you know, didn't exactly light it up fantasy-wise, but if you took a late-round dart on Darnold last year, you ended up with a reasonable starter, somebody you could throw out there and feel okay about hitting a floor every week. How are you handling the quarterback position this time around? Are you somebody who's diving in on Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson early on? Do you tend to wait? What do you think is the best strategy to drafting quarterbacks in 2026?
It's waiting. I think it's waiting. There's so much value late this year. I mean, again, referencing the sportsbook lines, if you look at how the sportsbooks are expecting Matt Stafford and even Jared Goff to perform, there's no reason you couldn't wait and take them as your, you know, they're going up the board at the QB 13, QB 14. Same with Brock Purdy. Bo Nix is someone I think presents incredible value. And what you can do is you can just wait till those later rounds and just tap two quarterbacks. Tap a couple of them. One of them is going to work out for you. I have traditionally almost always waited to draft a quarterback. I have had success in the season that I drafted two seasons ago when I drafted Lamar in a few leagues. But generally, I think that fantasy football leagues are pretty much always winnable if you wait on a quarterback. And I know that trends come and go, the zero RB, the elite quarterback. Guys, it always works to wait to draft a quarterback. And that's just how I'm going to play. It continues to work. And I think there's still a ton of value. Malik Willis. I mean, I can think of a ton of guys. Tyler Shook. There's a ton of Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is one that I'm definitely targeting. I really think he's going to win this battle that's supposedly happening. We know he has the rushing floor. We saw, again, Sam Darnold compete well in that system for Kevin O'Connell. Kyler Murray obviously has the best setup of his career. He's going to have Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson has to have positive touchdown regression. So, yeah, there's just too much value. You got to wait.
Jen, let's pivot over to baseball real quick. Got about a minute left. What's your favorite baseball play today? We got a limited slate, especially because two of the five games have already started. Do you have a favorite play in Rays Jays, for instance?
Yes, definitely. Luca Jr. Caminero over 1.5 bases, -110. Shane Bieber's allowing a .400 batting average to righties. He's allowed a 53% hard hit rate. Some righty is going to go yard for the Rays today. It's probably going to be Jr. Caminero. You could also take his home run, though not a ton of value, +235.
Yeah, I like that one as well. We'll be talking about that with my plays. I'm going to do a home run prop with him. So I think we're kind of sharing a brain on that one there. You're right to point out the reverse splits with Bieber. Do you have a hitter for the Arizona and St. Louis Cardinals game? Perhaps a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, it's Alec Burleson. Again, 51% hard hit rate this season. He's batting versus Troy Melton's lefty weakness. So, again, this total in this one is low, but Burleson has been a solid hitter. I would also consider combining his hits, runs, RBI with, say, like Yandy Diaz hits, runs, RBI. You can get that parlay up to a +178 if you're always searching for plus money value, which I always am. So that's an angle I'm going to take for those bets tonight.
She is Jen Piacenti. Catch her on, of course, at Shark Bets, and also catch her at National Fantasy Football Draft Day. Use promo code VEASAN. Get 25% off when you sign up over at draft.nation.com. Jen, awesome stuff as always. Looking forward to seeing you in person, and we'll do this again on here too as well. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Jen Piacenti there, everybody. Coming up next on Prop Points, we are going to be doing what's more likely to cash. You're watching.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here from RotoWire. We welcome those of you listening on SiriusXM channel 158 and those of us streaming with us on YouTube TV. It's time for one of our most favorite segments. It's called What's More Likely to Cash?
We're hunting for tickets with a real shot. Welcome to What's More Likely to Cash?
It's going to be an NFL player prop futures edition of What's More Likely to Cash. Nick, let's jump right into it with quarterbacks. Josh Allen over 24.5 passing TDs, -110. Sam Darnold, over 23.5 passing TDs, also minus 110. The odds via DraftKings everywhere on this segment. What's more likely to cash?
Yeah, interesting that Josh Allen is just one touchdown ahead of Sam Darnold, right? And look, we view Darnold in a different light now than we did even a year ago. But Josh Allen, a perennial MVP candidate at 24.5, Darnold sitting 23.5. But these guys each threw 25 touchdowns a year ago. Now, Josh Allen, of course, added 14 rushing touchdowns, and he has 41 of those over the last three seasons, by the way, which is just a ridiculous number. I still lean Josh Allen in this market. You know, he's gone over this number in six straight seasons. You know, the 25 passing touchdowns last year, pretty easily his fewest since his rookie year. He was sitting in the mid to high 30s from 2021 through 2022. And, you know, we finally have a change in Buffalo. We have a new head coach. We have a new offensive coordinator. So I think there is reason to believe that it's not just rinse and repeat as it has been these last few years for the Buffalo Bills. Now, we could question the weapons in Buffalo. We could question how much of an impact DJ Moore is going to have. They kind of been cycling through some of these pseudo wide receiver one options. And because Josh Allen is Josh Allen, he makes it work. Now, on the Darnold side of things, 23.5 is a very attainable number, especially when you have a number one like JSN. But, you know, a lot of things broke right for Seattle a year ago. You could see, you know, some of that maybe coming back around. Can we expect Sam Darnold to play at that same lights out level after losing Clint Kubiak? So I will lean Josh Allen here, just the far more talented player, even if he's doing a little bit more scoring on the ground than he has been through the air over these last few years. I'll take Josh Allen to go over 24.5 at minus 110.
All right, very good. Let's go to the running back spot. Let's talk a little bit about two very early running backs in fantasy drafts. If you look at what the market is saying, Ashton Jeanty has been going well before Kenneth Walker by about a round. A lot of optimism in Vegas for Ashton Jeanty. The prop is 7.5 rushing TDs, both at 7.5, both at minus 105. To you, Nick, what's more likely to cash?
Really, really interesting one where you have, I think the better player in Ashton Jeanty, but you have Kenneth Walker in what should be the much better situation in Kansas City. So my first inclination was to go with Kenneth Walker at 7.5. Now, both of these guys finished with 5 rushing touchdowns a year ago. Worth noting that Kenneth Walker, you know, he's had some injury issues, but did get over this number in each of his first two seasons. And that was while splitting carries pretty aggressively early in his career. You know, even in a really down year by Kansas City Chiefs standards, I mean, by far the biggest bottoming out that we've seen at any point during the Mahomes era, Kansas City still had 59 red zone opportunities compared to just 36 for the Las Vegas Raiders. That was one of the lowest numbers in the NFL. Now, I think there's reason to believe that Vegas will be better this season, partially because the bar is just set so low. But do we really think the quarterback play is going to be that much better? You know, there's still kind of an overall lack of talent on this offense that concerns me. I know they made some big swings in free agency, but I kind of need to see it in practice before I believe that the Raiders are going to take a massive step forward. At the end of the day, I think both of these guys have a pretty good chance to go over 7.5. 20 players got to at least 8 rushing touchdowns a year ago. 16 of those were running backs. So the bar isn't overly high here. Jeanty is very clearly the guy in Vegas. He was 7th in the league in carries last year. He was number 2 in team carry share inside the red zone. Number 1, if you break it down, inside the 10 and inside the 5. So really, it's just a question of, will the Raiders be in the red zone enough for Ashton Jeanty to convert those opportunities? Again, I think both guys can get there, but I lean on Walker being in a better situation. I like this as a bounce back year for the Kansas City Chiefs.
We're going to talk about a wide receiver prop next, but first, the Circus Survivor documentary is back. Bigger than ever, with $18.7 million on the line and a new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes. Missed the episode 1? Don't worry, catch it now on YouTube. Just search VEASAN Live. Episode 2 airs this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. Whether you play Circus Survivor or just love the drama, you won't want to miss this. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on VEASAN, or catch up anytime on YouTube. Just search VEASAN Live. All right, Nick, one of the risers in the fantasy world, the high-stakes fantasy leagues, is Zay Flowers. He versus Terry McLaurin, over 5.5 receiving touchdowns, both at even money. What's more likely to cash?
This one's pretty easily Terry McLaurin for me. Now he, mm-hmm. he of course got injured. Jaden Daniels was injured last year. He ended 2025 with just 3 receiving touchdowns, but I'm willing to pull from what we saw in 2024 as well, where he accounted for 13 of the 25 passing touchdowns from Jaden Daniels. What holds me back about Zay Flowers, Jeff, even though he's in probably a better situation in Baltimore, he's clearly the number one guy in a team that's, you know, kind of struggled to identify secondary receivers. He's just not really a red zone guy. I mean, he only had 6 catches in the red zone last season on only 10 targets. Only 1 of his 5 touchdowns on the year came in the red zone. He ranked 40th in the NFL in team target share in the red zone. Only 19% of the Ravens' red zone passes were targeting Zay Flowers. You look at the list, I mean, that's lower than guys like Cooper Kupp, Khalil Shakir, Juwan Jennings, Troy Franklin, who I think would all agree are worse receivers than him. So I think it has to be Terry McLaurin. You know, I'm not overly high on this Commanders team. I think there are still a lot of holes on this roster. I think they probably come in somewhere between 2024 and then the disaster that was last season. But Terry McLaurin is maybe the clearest number one wide receiver in the NFL in terms of the gap between him and the number two on his team. And I'm including tight ends in that discussion. There's just very little target competition for McLaurin in Washington on paper. And I am a Jaden Daniels believer, even if I don't think Washington is going to go out and win 9 or 10 games. Again, 25 touchdowns as a rookie, over half of those went to Terry McLaurin. So if I'm betting one of these at even money, it's going to be McLaurin over 5.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of people are arguing for Declan Doyle is changing things maybe a little bit there. I think it's interesting how many the extreme number of different play callers we have this season, though, too. It's funny. It's like half the league has new play callers this year. Ja'Marr Chase versus JSN. Over 1,324.5 receiving yards is the number. -110 for both. What's more likely to cash?
If both these guys stay healthy, I think they're both going over. You know, JSN has some room to regress, even from last season where he was up close to 1,800 yards and he could still smash this number. Chase went over despite Joe Burrow missing a huge chunk of the season. I will say this. I think JSN is here to stay as an elite guy. You know, it took him a little bit after being a first round pick to kind of get to the level that we saw last season. But I don't think that was a flash in the pan by any means. I think he is one of those dudes. There's not a ton of target competition for him in Seattle. If anything, it's even a little bit more consolidated now with Kenneth Walker out of the picture. No major adds at wide receiver. You know, Rashid Shaheed is solid, but he's not a volume guy in that passing game. Cooper Kupp is a year older. We'll see if Torrey Horton can take a step forward. But the Seahawks did lose their OC. You know, a lot of things broke their way last year. So forced to choose one of these two, Jeff, I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase. He smashed this number each of the last 2 seasons. Worth noting that he did not get there in 2023, but that was another Joe Burrow injury season. Ja'Marr Chase even missed a game that year. And even with Burrow missing a ton of time last year, Chase still led the NFL in targets. He put up over 1,400 yards. Again, I think both these guys could do it if they stay healthy, but Chase is the guy I trust more. I think there's a little bit more upside if Jeff, we can just get Joe Burrow to stay healthy.
Yeah, or at least they have Flacco all year this year as the backup. But, you know, those games in the wilderness there were really tough until they added Flacco. And then that life got a little bit
better. Jake Browning beat the Jets.
Those stretching games. Yeah, they do. They do. DeAndre Swift versus Tony Pollard. 799.5 rushing yards, -110. Who do you got? What's more likely to cash?
Yeah, this is vintage Michael Cohen. Just, you know, putting my brain in a pretzel here. You know, Swift versus Pollard, basically, who could get to 800 yards? Very comparable numbers last season. We saw slightly higher volume for Tony Pollard. Swift was a lot more efficient in what was just a much better offense. Only 2 running backs, by the way, Jeff, have rushed for over 1,000 yards in 4 straight seasons. Those 2 running backs are Derrick Henry and Tony Pollard. So this is really tough for me. I mean, Pollard was my initial lean, but again, Swift is in just such a better situation. The Bears, to me, even if you kind of tag them as a team that could take a step back in terms of wins and losses, there's just a lot more upside in that offense. He does have Kyle Manungai to split carries with in that backfield, but we've seen this work for Ben Johnson in the past. We've seen Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery both go over this number, both be well on pace to smash this number, even in years where Montgomery has missed time. So I have some optimism about Cam Ward and the Titans offense taking a step forward, but the Bears are just set up so much better under Ben Johnson. Chicago rushed for almost 1,000 more yards as a team last year, 4.9 yards per attempt compared to 4.2 for Tennessee. So there's a little bit more wiggle room to me with DeAndre Swift, you know, even if he were to miss a game or two. I will lock in DeAndre Swift as the more likely to get to 800 yards between he and Tony Pollard. Again, both of those minus 110 over at DraftKings. We'll give you some baseball plays. We'll give you some NFL win totals when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
Yes.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. A couple games in progress right now on the Thursday MLB slate. It's now 5-3 Atlanta Braves over the San Diego Padres. Remember, they trailed 3-1 after the second inning, a four-run fourth, putting the Braves ahead. Ozzie Albies added a solo homer, and Dominic Smith with a three-run shot. So again, 5-3 Braves. We'll see if Chris Sale comes out for the top of the six. He's given up 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 8 strikeouts, 85 pitches so far through five. And we are on to pitcher number 3 already for the San Diego Padres. Other game in action is Twins at the Guardians. We're in the top of the third, 2 outs for Minnesota, nothing game so far. So we'll keep you posted on that one. Jeff, that leaves us just 3 other games for you to break down and give us some bets for on this Thursday slate. So let's go to the AL East. Let's talk Rays Blue Jays, games in Toronto. Ian Seymour, Shane Bieber is your pitching matchup.
Yeah, and Shane Bieber is not the pitcher in name, although he did pitch well in his last start. He did throw 6 shutout innings against the White Sox, but it's been pretty rough so far for him. 570 ERA, 173 whip. He's already allowed 7 homers in 23 and two-thirds innings. It's been really, it's a different version of him than we even saw last year, let alone before this string of injuries. I think it probably continues today against the Rays. Rays are going for a 4-game sweep. The Blue Jays are in a tough space right now. Going to be probably sellers at the trade deadline, but and Kevin Gausman's one of those will probably certainly be dealt, but it's the offense that's really letting him down. 402 runs scored, the last in Major League Baseball as far as that goes. But I do think that the Rays offense does well. Notably against Bieber, he has a reverse split. It's been a limited sample over the last 3 years, but 10 of the 15 homers he's allowed have been against righties. Righties have a 324 batting average against him in this stretch. Going to go Junior Caminero over home run Thursday, if you will, dinger Thursday, if you will, over half a home run. Plus 240 over at FanDuel is the best price I saw. The Tampa Bay team total over 4.5 as well, I like in this one, plus 105 over at DraftKings.
Set out to St. Louis, where we have the Cardinals playing host to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Michael McGreevy versus Brandon Pfaadt. I know you have a team total play, Jeff, and a hitting prop as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Tough spot for the Diamondbacks right now. So they played a day game yesterday, finished their series against the Athletics. Now they have to play another day game, or early evening game, if you will, 5:15 Eastern time, 4:15 local in St. Louis. One day, and then they turn around and travel again to Washington. So they're on the road quite a bit here. Quick turnaround as far as this goes. They did just play each other over the weekend, including a big comeback win for the Diamondbacks on Sunday against the Cardinals when they were down 7-0. Brandon Pfaadt is pitching for the Diamondbacks. He did beat the Cardinals last time out. In fact, he's won all 4 starts since getting called back up. However, I think there's a little bit of regression in the mean possibilities here. The strikeout rate is really low, below 20%. The swing and miss is really low. Left-handers in particular still do well against Brandon Pfaadt, 298 with 7 homers and 138 plate appearances. So I'm doing a couple of things involving that. I'm doing J.J. Weatherholt over 1.5 hits plus runs plus stolen bases, minus 107 at DraftKings. Jen Piacenti was on earlier talking about Alec Burleson and his hit prop. I like that as well, but that's her, so I'll leave it to her. Won't be one of my plays, but I endorse it for sure. Offensively, Michael McGreevy's been defeating expectations quite a while. Arizona, not a great hitting team on the road, 85 WRC plus on the road. So we're going to go under 3.5 on their team total, minus 115 over at DraftKings.
Finish out the baseball slate with Royals Tigers, where we have Detroit as a heavy, heavy favorite on the money line, minus 205 at DraftKings, total coming in at 8.5. A lot of things working against Kansas City in this matchup, Jeff. They've been a terrible road team, and no Bobby Witt, who landed on the IL for the first time in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been tough times for the Royals all the way around. They're terrible on the road, too. 17-33 on the road. Randy Dobnak has an artificially good ERA, 1.93 ERA, but a 1.50 whip. That kind of tells you that there's some correction coming. And indeed, he's given up two homers in those 14 innings that he's pitched so far. I think that the Tigers get well against Dobnak. I think this is going to be his worst outing here. I like, you know, the money line's too prohibitively high, so I'm going to go with the run line instead. Plus 108 at FanDuel. I also want to play a little Dylan Dingler here, as always. Assuming he's in line, check your lineups to make sure. But the total bases prop, 1.5. I'm going to go over at DraftKings. You can get that at plus 111. So that's the last one there. Nick, we've got some football win totals you like to talk about here. I love talking win totals this time of year. Tell me more about the Detroit Lions at 10.5.
I'm back in on the Lions, Jeff. I know last year was a big time disappointment for a number of reasons. Yeah, I think we still saw, you know, why this team is one of the best and most consistent offenses in the NFL, but injuries have racked them each of the last 2 years. I don't think it was the smoothest transition to a new offensive coordinator, Johnny Morton, after losing Ben Johnson. We're on to a new OC this year. And the most important thing for me, Jeff, is that the Detroit Lions are projected to have the easiest schedule in the NFL. And I know this time of year we could say that, well, you know, you're basing it off of Vegas win totals and teams surprise us and things change and injuries happen. That's all true. But if you look back over the last few years, it's like teams that have the projected easiest schedules have been able to take advantage. Like, look at New England a year ago. You know, I think we could see Detroit do something similar. Now, the issue for the Lions is that they have a very difficult schedule in their own division where they really struggled last year, losing some games that they probably shouldn't. They were 0-2 against Green Bay. It took some bad losses in division throughout the year to Minnesota, especially near the end of the season. But I think Detroit, if they could stay even relatively healthy, I think this might be the best offense in the NFL. Like, the Rams are in that conversation. They're the only team projected to score more points than the Detroit Lions. If you go by, you know, the implied Vegas totals, I just don't think getting to 11, even in that division, is too much to ask. You know, they draw a lot of really nice out-of-division matchups. You get the NFC South on that schedule. They get the AFC East, which means you get the Patriots and the Bills. But outside of that, you know, I think that's still two very winnable games on the schedule. I think they'll do better, you know, against teams like Chicago and Green Bay and Minnesota this year. It just felt like the Lions were kind of due for a year from hell. It happened last year. They'll flush it, and they'll be back to being one of these teams that it feels like you got to get to 30 to hang in against week to week. So I love the Lions over 10.5.
Let's stay in the NFC North. We've talked a little bit about the Vikings already. You and I both kind of like them. You get this great defense. Brian, I know they lost some guys up front, but Brian Flores is still the man. It's all about Kyler Murray, though, and what happens there. Do you like that over 8.5? I think you do.
You may have had you know, some inklings that I like the Vikings this year. I think I've talked about them more than any other team on this network. And look, you know, when you're coming off of saying, hey, I love Detroit over 10.5 and I love Minnesota over 8.5, you know, that means some fading has to be done. So I'm a little bit lower on Green Bay. I, like many, am skeptical of the Chicago Bears as well. As much as I like that offense, I just think a lot of things broke their way. They probably got more luck, I think, than any other team a year ago. Whereas I think a lot of things went against Minnesota last season, and they still found their way to 8-9. I mean, they had arguably the worst quarterback play in the league for the bulk of the season. And we pinned most of that on J.J. McCarthy, Jeff, but it's not like Carson Wentz was any better when he was in there. So they basically went 17 games with, at best, poor quarterback play to, at times, disastrous quarterback play. So I think the Vikings, if they can maintain that infrastructure defensively, despite losing some pieces, which I think they can, I just... The jump in competency that they're getting with Kyler Murray, even if we don't get peak Kyler Murray, it's going to be so much better than it was a year ago. The one concern for me is the rushing element. You know, I know Jordan Mason struggled last year. I think Aaron Jones is kind of at the end of his career, but Kyler Murray helps that out. I mean, he's a guy that even in his down seasons, it's given you 35 rushing yards per week. That's not something the Vikings have really had at the quarterback position in years past. And you're surrounding Kyler Murray with an excellent coaching staff, a great head coach in KOC, and some really nice weaponry. I mean, Jefferson, Addison, Jawan Jennings as your third receiver, TJ Hockenson, who we've just cast aside in fantasy. That is a really, really nice top four in that pass catching room.
Absolutely. We'll go with one more, and I believe we'll combine two things. We'll make this your best bet, the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, Saints over 7.5 is one that I like. Just a really low bar to clear for a team that started 1-8 last season and ended with 6 wins. They look like arguably the best team in that division, I thought, over the second half of the season. Brought in some really nice pieces to improve that offense, to get year two for Tyler Shuck, who's actually preparing to be the starter this year as well. Totally different situation for him. That defense was significantly better than you probably thought it was last year when you look at some of the advanced numbers. I will say this, though, on the Saints, Jeff. Maybe wait to find a way to bet New Orleans until after week one, maybe even week two, because they start at Detroit and at Baltimore. That could very well be 0-2, but they still have the second easiest schedule in the NFL per Warren Sharp. So I think there could be some in-season opportunity maybe to find a way to jump in on the Saints. But either way, I will play that over 7.5. What do you have for us quickly, Jeff, for your best bet?
That Rays over 4.5 on the team total, plus 105 at DraftKings. Chase Brown over 824.5 rush yards, minus 110 at DraftKings. My favorite running back prop leading into this season.
There we go. Lock it in. Lock it in right here as well. Don't go anywhere. Money Moves with Stormy and JBT is coming your way next. You're watching VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.